Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app.
Get juicy red, green, or black seedless grapes for 99 cents a pound. Then get tender USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wake up, Lincoln.
Come on, it's 6 o'clock. Rise and shine, rise and shine.
It's time for Early Break, brought to you by Sand Hills Global. Live from Lincoln, America, here's Jake Sorensen.
Did seem kind of meh.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
Surprisingly good.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
I want to buy a couple ducks. I'm bringing two ducks to the office.
This is Early Break.
Good morning, happy Monday to you, Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on Early Break. Sip is back from a trip to Columbus. Sip, you got back when, yesterday or Saturday night?
Back at early yesterday, 10:50 yesterday.
Whoa.
A.M.
Back in Lincoln at before noon.
Yeah.
How about that?
It was a...
Boom.
Time was that flight on Sunday morning?
It would have been, I think it was at 7.
That sounds incredible.
You don't know what time the flight was at. You were on it yesterday morning.
You were on the flight yesterday morning.
Are you with Rick Heyman in concussion protocol right now?
7 a.m. I'm sure it was 7. 7 a.m. So Columbus time, that's 6 our time. So we got an hour, right? That's part of the reason we're back.
That's true.
Earlier. So, yeah, it was just early flight. DP was on the flight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, DP was on the flight. He was going to San Fran, Bill.
He was at Niners Cowboys last night after being at Ohio State.
How did that end? I fell asleep at 27-10.
I don't know.
Yeah, 27-10 because it was it got ugly. It got really ugly.
Let me give you a score there, Bill, because I also did not watch. I was done with football after 3 o'clock yesterday.
So it bothered you that they hit the game winner against the
30-24 Niners beat the Cowboys 30-24 last night.
Quite a comeback by the late then.
Yep. Cowboys are 3-4. Yeah, I didn't watch any football after about 3:04 p.m. when the Dolphins decided to choke the lead and lose to the Cardinals. Now 2-5 on the football season.
Tua was back.
He played fine.
How'd they lose to the Cardinals, Jake? What happened at home?
Their defense is in shambles. They are a bunch of losers don't have a winning mentality. And this is going nowhere fast. As I've said before, I'll say it again, Chris Greer needs to go. The GM has made mistakes.
What about your head coach?
And the Bill McDaniel, if he keeps losing, is certainly on the hot seat also, even though he made back-to-back playoff appearances. We all know it's a short memory in the NFL. People forget things of years past if you suck.
What happened on the last drive with the Cardinals?
Well, the Cardinals moved the ball well. They ran the ball well. Kyler Murray scrambled, which he does. It was one of his biggest strengths is scrambling, and the Dolphins just had no pulse defensively is what happened. Dolphins led by 2 at midfield, and then they got a big first down, then proceeded to get no yards the next 3 plays, punted to the 11-yard line, and the Cardinals moved down the field with ease, got a third down conversion, kicked a 34-yard field goal, and they're now 4-4. Dolphins are 2-5, and Sundays are reserved for golfing now going forward.
I'm skeptical.
Betrayal.
I'll always be skeptical of a franchise. Now, Jake, you can talk me out of this, but this is my perception of the Dolphins. You lose Tua, and everybody just says, well, they lost Tua. There's nothing we can do. My question to you would be, what kind of franchise is that?
That is why the GM needs to go, because we all know they don't have a backup quarterback. There's no plan. There's no plan for injury when a guy's been injured several times before. It's malpractice by ownership and management to not have a backup plan.
Yeah, it's
ever.
Odd. I mean, they went to
a practice squad on a different team to get their quarterback to replace Tua. That should tell you something about the way they manage the roster.
Yeah.
That's enough said.
I suppose there's some NFL teams you'd point to and say if they lost their starting quarterback, they're done. But I don't. That's the kind of franchise I'm skeptical of.
You should be. It's a proper stance because I see Jordan Love missing time with the Packers, and they keep winning with Malik Willis.
There you go.
He enters the game on the road at Jacksonville and wins the game 30-27.
Or Google.
Joe Flacco won games for the Colts when Richardson was hurt, who's, by the way, terrible.
Or how about the Cleveland Browns yesterday?
Jameis Winston gets a big win. 27 for 41 passing. Three touchdowns.
Drops an interception. Hamilton drops an interception.
Yes, Kyle Hamilton.
It was like a pre-practice throw. And Winston Jameson missed the guy by 10 yards. Threw it over his head. He was wide open.
That's what Jameis does.
He was wide open.
He does.
And he threw it over his head by 10 yards.
He airmailed it.
Airmailed it to a guy just to end the game. Nope. And the next play, he throws a touchdown pass.
That's Jameis.
It was full Jameis.
It was right one of the most incredible things I've ever seen in my life.
It was.
Back-to-back plays. I was like, what just happened?
Hamilton's really good, too.
Yes. He's an all-pro.
Right.
That is really the Jameis experience, Bill, and it worked out for the Browns that he dropped the pick.
And I have said this on air numerous times, and I said it right when it happened. Every time that you drop a pick in those situations, you lose.
You come lose. Back to haunt Every, you.
It comes back to haunt you. It never is like, oh man, we're right there. We'll pick the next one. No, you won't. Next one's gonna be a play that beats
you.
Beat
the safety bad.
Yeah,
the safety Eddie Jackson just got cooked.
Yeah,
he got cooked.
It was just the fact that I was watching the Cleveland Browns Ravens was more astonishing to me.
Well, Bill, you saw it too. The Brown Jake, you could learn a lesson from Browns fans.
Yes.
They're 1-6. Stadium's full, jacked. I mean, that tell me it wasn't jacked.
It was. They were the dog.
It's a rivalry game.
The dog pound
division rivalry.
Oh, it's this rivalry. That's the Browns who left the Browns to be the Ravens.
Okay. That's right. They hate the Ravens.
That explains.
They
lot
hate the Ravens with a passion.
What a stadium though. What a like loud. It was loud. It was beautiful.
How was it Miami? Was it crazy raucous crowd?
Well, no. Now, it was loud because Tua, that was his return from the injury in week two. So they actually cheered.
Was there empty seats, Jake?
The loudest cheer in the stadium the entire day. And they put up 27 points. They scored. But the loudest cheer was when the Dolphins had a 3rd-and-9 in the red zone. And Tua scrambled for 13 yards and slid. Yeah. Got a big cheer from the crowd for sliding.
All right.
That's where Dolphins fans are at right now.
Okay.
2-5. Actually, you know what? I didn't watch the game. I tracked it because I went to the basketball game because I said I don't want to watch this team kill my Sunday. So I benefited by not watching that thing live.
Went to watch Raleigh Worcester.
I watched the basketball game with Elizabeth in Scotland. Yes, I did.
Nice.
It was a bad first half, a nice second half.
Nebraska
exhibition game though.
Nebraska beats Grand Valley State
73-53. Yes, but I was tracking the game the entire time. Mm. So I didn't have to witness that meltdown live.
I can't imagine how many times you refreshed. I bet it was 400 times.
At 600.
Yeah. I mean you were you were constant. How about the last drive? Was that hard on you when the ball was moving?
What do you think? At that point, we were in the car driving home. So I was driving. You know, I wasn't looking at the phone, being proper. But I looked down. Hey, listen on NFL radio. Here comes the kick. And the Cardinals beat the Dolphins. I said, yep. All right. Well, let's go do something else besides watch football the rest of the day. So we didn't watch football at all the rest of the day. Not even Cowboys Niners didn't watch it.
Me and Steve did. I text Steve separately. I'm gonna be on record. I text him separately. I said, this is not good for Jake. I said,
I'm gonna be on the record.
I said, I'll be on the record.
He's on the record.
I'm on the record.
I appreciate that.
The last play of the game field goal is not gonna be good for Jake Sorensen to take this.
Thank you.
I wish you could enjoy that. You can enjoy the rest of the NFL.
I might just watch other games and have no dog in the fight and say that
you won't
it's
do
football.
That.
Football.
Let's just not
football.
Say that, Jake. That's never going to be true.
I wish I could. I wish I could just
walk away, and you can't.
I can't.
You're the biggest addiction that I've seen. It's sad.
It's a painful.
Is it sad? I don't think it's sad.
But you're not betrayed. Good. Nebraska played really well. Came up short, so you're not betrayed.
Kind of betrayed. Actually,
well, it came up short.
If you really think about it, it is kind of betrayal.
Ben's upset with me again. I just take it on myself. I asked if he got some rest.
I got very upset with me. I witnessed it. It was a fair question. There wasn't a tone. It was a simple question at all.
And what was
I didn't
the reaction?
Say, hey, Ben, to get back to ESPN doing a story on you last Friday for having to work all day.
You know,
I didn't ask that. I said, Ben, did you get some rest? He looked at me. Not cool, Bill.
He gave you.
I thought that response was undeserved. By the way, completely undeserved.
Wait a second. He gave you a not cool.
That all I asked was.
Gigi did that once.
With the pause.
Did Gigi do that once?
Well, I probably deserved that.
When you ate the ice cream.
Yeah, I ate the ice cream. Yeah, not cool.
That one's understandable.
Understandable.
Ben, you dropped a not cool on
it. It was unnecessary, Ben.
Wow.
He was being nice. Start off the day. First question, you just and then gave Ben
didn't send That's his, a nice question. Did yeah, you get yeah. some rest?
And then Ben didn't send his grades out.
Nope.
Last week, he sent his grades out to us, unedited. We said that this week, we didn't get his grades. On the phone, Ben, you just text him to us in the group.
I'll read them.
Yeah.
Very simple.
Yeah.
Anything else for idle chit-chat? You want to move on to Nebraska?
Not really. Columbus, I mean,
you had a stake in old fashioned again, right? A
couple old fashions. You guys turned me on to old fashions.
I'm proud of
what
you.
What was the spot?
It was a hoity-toity. It's called the Athletic Club of Columbus. It was members only.
And, whoa.
Now we had it.
How'd you get in?
There was an On3 National. Will Crawl is his name. So that was Friday night. It was fun. The game. The one thing I'm going to say about Ohio Stadium, it's the most heavily guarded stadium. I'm not going to elaborate too much, but you can't. They make it so the entrance, the main road, is zigzag.
And then there's a ton of concrete barricades.
Barricades
everywhere. If you decided that I'm going to get a truck full of dynamite and drive it into the stadium,
it'd be really hard.
It would be you'd have to go over about 19 concrete barricades to get that done.
That'd be impressive.
Yeah, I mean it really is. It's concrete barricades everywhere. It's really weird looking.
It is not like going to Purdue. It's not like going. It's not like going to Nebraska game. I mean, it's the security there is incredible. Bomb squads. You know, they had a bomb robot. They have guys. They have guys on the roof. You know, very ominous guards overseeing. It's like, geez. But it's massive, and it was a beautiful day, beautiful scene.
It looked like it had a great day.
It was a beautiful day, Bill. And you're lucky. I think about you sometimes that you are lucky to be able to coach in these ungodly cathedrals. Like that was, it was gorgeous.
Yeah, it is.
That is an amazing place to cover a game and you know, just be a part of it. Like
I was thinking about this just as you were talking about what it was like to get through there. The security that would take us when I was coaching Ohio State to the press box, it was like it was the same thing. You would have thought that the president was coming through.
With the media, yeah.
And it was like it didn't have to be that way, but it really was. I mean, I remember going like, this is a little over the top just to get a bunch of coaches up to the press box.
That's what I thought. Yeah, before the game, it's like a half hour process to get up there. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
But you got there.
I got there, Jake.
Eventually, yeah. Did you have a McFlurry or not? McFlurry.
What'd they have for food?
I had a couple. That was a little controversial with the guys.
Oh, no.
They have
McFlurries in the stadium?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they set them out. It's really not. It's not incredible food, but the McFlurries sort of make
that
up for everything.
That changes things up.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was good.
You had two McFlurries.
I didn't have much else, though. That's the thing.
Not a lot of ice cream, but that'll do it for you.
Right, yeah.
What's wrong with that, Steve?
That is Idle Chit Chat, sponsored by our friends at Renew. Call or text David at 402-833-3858 or go to renewyourauto.com. They do everything from body shops, ceramic coatings, window tintings, and more. Renewyourauto.com. All right, Nebraska goes to Ohio State, battles to the end, but they lose to the Buckeyes 21-17, the record now 5-3 as Nebraska hosts UCLA this weekend. I think most fans would tell you they were surprised that game came down to the very end, right?
Who would not say that?
There's no revisionist history here. We predicted blowouts in this game after what happened against Indiana. So
I thought it'd be a blowout no matter what.
Well, I mean, if you want positives, Nebraska played a very, very good football game in terms of keeping this. The defense was excellent. The defense, which was non-existent.
God,
for the entire game,
I don't get it.
At Indiana, showed up from the get go in this game. You know, we talked about how Ohio State runs the ball very well with Chip Kelly. They didn't run the ball very well on Saturday. Nebraska stopped them in their tracks.
They ran 21 times for 64 yards. Yeah,
nothing.
I thought Jenkins and Henderson would have 64 yards on the first drive.
A piece?
No, just.
I didn't think it'd be quite that much. But yes,
I did. I literally thought 64 yards would be possible on the first drive. They shut. I mean, it was Well, let's put it this way. Henderson was averaging 8.1 a carry coming in, or 8.2 a carry, and Judkins was averaging 6.9. They got nothing. I mean, they got nothing. And they, what was most striking was, what was it, four third and shorts? They got stopped.
Stuffed.
Third and shorts stuffed. I mean, I don't know how to explain what happened from Indiana to Ohio State defensively. Bill maybe could help us with that.
It's a little hard to explain.
How do you make that? How does it change that much in a week?
Well, I think there's a couple things where that Ohio State was very, very generic in their run game. It was it was almost like watching Colorado when Nebraska played them. But it doesn't take. Usually there's more things involved with it. Also, you know, when Chip Kelly's had really good rushing teams and the running back rushed the ball good, they had something with legs at the quarterback. There's a couple times where the run with the quarterback could have went for maybe like 30 yards, and it went for like six. Right. And one time he just fell down. And I think that's
second what, half. Yeah.
And they talked about how he has the added dimension of rushing, but he only has 77 yards on the season. So that's not really tearing it up rushing the ball. So I think that takes away, because you don't have to really, you're not going into a game all stressed out.
No. What if they had Braxton Miller?
You're not
Juckins, you're not, Braxton
you're
Miller.
You're not worried about that. So I think that hurts him a little bit. I think also maybe the loss of their left tackle
was
a little bit more, but that still shouldn't have been, that is no way taken away from how well Nebraska played versus the run. And then also Wisconsin watched that game late. Ohio State also lost another offensive lineman, and it looked like he will not be available for.
That was their backup left tackle. So they lost their starting left tackle, played with a backup, then the backup got hurt. So they're down to number three. Is what I'm saying. They're down to three.
That's a lot. But anyway, no, it's a little bit alarming, because the first thing you have to do when there's a game like this is you have to credit the other team, which is Nebraska. Credit Nebraska.
Oh yeah.
I do feel, I think everyone would think the same thing, was that the 11 a.m. kick, and I'm telling you, that 56-7 game, they all do like that. Man, Ohio State's, they're still so mad from Oregon. No, they weren't.
It didn't seem like it.
I mean, it didn't seem like it. I actually said this to Jay Foreman on Friday. I said, you know, one of the worst things that can happen is get up a little bit. And they did. They got 14-3.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, when it's 14-3, you think the final score is going to be, it's going to be 38-13. Mm-hmm. That's what you think about that time.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's that kind of thing.
Here it goes.
And that's exactly what I told Jay. So one of the worst things that can happen to you is just get up a couple touchdowns early. Just score a couple early, and all of a sudden you're like, here we go.
But
Nebraska deserves all the credit.
I don't have my play-by-play, but so it got to 14-3. Jake, what happened?
Go back to that. So there was a couple long passes to get to 14.
Yeah.
A couple long passes.
Carnell Tate and Smith had the long ones.
Now,
a 40-yard pass and a 60-yard pass with a touchdown scores.
I have a play-by-play sheet, but I didn't bring it in here. There was a point there late in the second half where I thought the dam's going to break open, and it didn't. The dam did not break open. Part of it was Nebraska got some key stops. And I thought the whole John Holt's 54-yarder.
And they missed it. They missed a field goal.
They pushed a field goal way right. And Nebraska responds by a 54-yard kick to end the first half, making it 14-6 at halftime.
Right.
Yeah, one-score game. Yep.
John Holt hit a 54-yarder into the wind. That wasn't a strong wind, but it was into a wind. And that was a boost. I mean, I would think
the man went 3-for-3 kicking. He was 1-for-5 entering. It wasn't always his fault. It was snap. It was the whole operation. And they go 3-for-3, making a couple long field goals. That was a huge positive.
He was hammering 50-plus yarders in warmups. There's no doubt he's got a leg. I don't know what the situation is. Obviously the operation has been bad, but maybe they've got it fixed. But anyway, I thought the dam was going to break in the first half, and it didn't. They got the stop, and you're right, that Ohio State kicker pushed one way right, and then Nebraska responded. But man, it got weird there at the end of the first half. We should discuss that. The first down mark, Bill's idea of having just a ref.
Someone at the first down marker.
Right. How did they blow that call?
He was passed by a yard and a half. A yard and a half he was passed by.
And I'm not saying that affected the game that much. Well, I mean, it didn't really turn out to affect the game that much, but man. You talk about, I mean, this is what makes people wonder about officials these days. Mm. My God.
Which gets back to there needs to be one commissioner and one and someone that oversees officiating as college football.
And someone, a ref, that's just charged with spotting the ball.
Just spotting the ball.
That's a good idea. Because they
you just put him at the marker. Because,
hey guys, Jake Sorensen from Early Break here to tell you about Cigars International. I've always loved kicking back with a great cigar, especially as the weather cools down. It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch the game, or just enjoy a little fall evening outside on the deck. And when it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International has become my go-to. They have everything, whether I'm looking for a classic favorite or trying something new. Cigars International never disappoints. They're the go-to retailer for all things cigars, with the biggest selection of premium handmade cigars available anywhere. Cigars International offers unbeatable deals and discounts, making it easy to stock up on all your favorites or try something new without breaking the bank. With fast shipping and their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every single order. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. But it's not just about cigars. Cigars International also offers a wide range of accessories, humidors, and more to elevate your smoking experience. Visit CigarsInternational.com today and explore their incredible selection of premium cigars and unbeatable deals. For our listeners only, they're giving you 20% off your order of $50 or more, plus free shipping when you use code EARLYBREAK at checkout. That's CigarsInternational.com. Use promo code EARLYBREAK, all one word, at checkout, EARLYBREAK, for 20% off your purchase of $50 or more and free shipping. Whether you're looking for the perfect fall cigar or just want something new, Cigars International has you covered.
If he's a yard short, you'll want to know. If you miss it by a half a yard and he's actually 2 yards short instead of a yard and a half short, that doesn't like drive you nuts. But you could make a call if you're at the marker. You would nail it every time within 2 yards.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, easily made it like that. Also, you're really not that mad if you make the first down. And it maybe should have been another foot further, yeah. But you still have the first down.
Still have the first
down. At that. But no, when you mismark something like that,
yeah,
that's, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Isn't, and Bill, I don't know if we know all these intricacies. Can't the Big Ten booth upstairs say, wait, stop. This is bad.
I don't know if they can do it right now. I think the only, like I said, that they can pick out targeting that's missed. If they see a targeting from the booth that is they feel has been missed on the field, they can do that. I'm not sure about the other part. You can challenge the spot, though. You can challenge the spot.
Yeah,
did Coach Rhule have a challenge left, or why did he not challenge that? Do you know?
I think there was a lot of confusion. Mm-hmm. I think that he just felt, well, it's first down. And then when it didn't happen, I don't know if I just think there was a lot of confusion.
If you were watching, you were at the game, but the broadcast, Gus and Joel were saying, how in the hell can you miss that by that much? How can the refs miss that that badly?
Yeah, it was startling. Anyway, there was also a they called push off. They called offensive PI on. Well, the one on Nayor, that drive.
Is that the one towards the end zone?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because on that one, that was worse than the spot call.
It was close.
But what it was a classic no call.
Right. They were both battling.
It was a classic. When they replayed it, I thought, well, maybe shoved him. I didn't see that. Matter of fact, I thought it was defensive.
They were both battling.
And then
each other.
They showed it back. It's like, oh, no, that's just a no call.
How do you throw that flag?
That's just a no call. And also, one thing was the SEC was known for this, and the Big Ten was too. Hey, listen, we're going to let them play a little bit down there. We're not just going to, Big 12, if you touch anyone, if you just look at them wrong, they might throw a flag on you. If you just look at them the wrong way, they'll throw a flag because they want to get 800 yards of passing per game.
Right.
And the Big Ten, the SEC's known, hey, it's going to get a little physical, and both sides kind of know it. That call was awful. The one they called later in the game on the sideline maybe didn't have to be called, but...
Banks?
But he did...
He pushed off.
He did push off.
That was legitimate.
If he would have just extended, sometimes you get it.
Yeah.
Just don't shove. But the one in the end zone
Nayor's,
was
Unbelievable. Awful. Unbelievable. No, they throw that flag.
Nebraska still scores that drive. They go down and get 14-6 at halftime. And
well, they got three. They didn't get seven.
Yeah. I know, but it was 14-6.
Right.
But here's the deal. This is Nebraska's defense in the second half. Here's their drives. Here's Ohio State's offense. Second half, Buckeyes get the ball after halftime, 3 and out, 7 yards, punt. Then the next drive, interception, first play, Hartsock down to the 7. No score by Nebraska.
He's got to get in. He's got to get in.
Yeah. That was tough. Then after the pick, when the defense held up for Ohio State, back-to-back, 3 and outs again. Then the Huskers take the lead. They go have their touchdown drive, 8 plays, 75 yards, touchdown to Judkins. And then another punt. They had one good drive in the second half.
That's it.
And one disaster in that pick. But again, Huskers did not score. But the defense shut them down.
They did.
21 points to Ohio State on the road is remarkable, and it still resulted in a loss for Nebraska.
I want to say something about Hartsock. I'm not being critical of him. I love Hartsock, by the way.
Did he get injured?
No, he's fine. I don't think so.
He came off the field with a hamstring.
Oh, he came in he did the post-game interviews. He seemed fine.
Okay, but he did. He came off.
I hope you're wrong.
He might be right. I remember, and I think it was on when they scored a touchdown. I think that's when it was. So anyway, I just saw him. It might have just been a cramp also.
So, and that...
Anyway.
Now, we're talking to a DB's coach here. So, when he made that pick, Jake, so that was in the... Was that in the fourth?
Third quarter. Early third.
I said to the guys right away, he's got to get in. Got to get in. And they looked at me kind of funny, but he's got... And I don't fault him. How much is that emphasized to the DBs? Know what the situation is. No offense, can't get in. try to get in the damn end zone. Yeah.
Well, you obviously you're always trying to advance the ball as far as you can.
Well, sure.
You want to be clean, no blocks in the back. You can't have the thing coming back. You generally want to get to your sideline is what you want to try to get to, or you're trying to have happen. But you do you have someone like Malcolm with the football in his hands, and you've got
he's a good runner.
And you've got five offensive linemen out there that can't tackle him. The quarterback doesn't really want to tackle him, and so you don't have a lot of guys that are really interested in getting him on the ground.
Right.
And so you'd like to. So the number one thing, which I can't recall, I did see the interception, but I can't recall what happened. And generally,
I don't know what happened at the end of the run.
You always want to make sure that you block the person they're throwing to. So the one that they're throwing to, block him immediately, which means the wide receiver. He's usually the most dangerous guy to get him started back up the field. But yeah, when you have a chance to score or you want to get as much yardage as you can.
Of course. And I'm not in any way being critical. I just thought exactly what happened, and it happened. I thought he's going to return it. He's not going to get in, and they're not going to get in. I mean, that's exactly what went through my mind when the minute he caught that ball and started upfield. And I thought, get in. Because the offense isn't getting in.
They started the drive at the 7-yard line.
Okay, now that drive was...
That was with 7:11 to go in the third quarter.
Right, so they ran it 4 times, right?
They did.
The first two were handoffs. I'm fine with the first down hand. Now listen, I'm just lapsing into my offensive coordinator. I'm fine with a first down handoff. Second down handoff, you've got to do something else. Just a straight handoff from the 7...
Got
to do something.
Did a jet sweep.
The jet sweep was a good play. And then there's a little more confusion on spots. This was interesting. They thought on the sideline that he got to the 1 or maybe even inside the 1, which is why they called that personnel group that they sent in Robinson. I think Mazuka was in there. Liebentritz hurt, so he's not – the fullback's right. Not available. And then, you know, they called that run play where Dowdell would jump, but the ball was spotted actually at the 2.
Yeah, it was at the 2.
Yeah.
I thought, talk about weird things that happen. On the fly sweep.
Yes.
Probably should have been down at the 5. The DB that came in from Ohio State was high, missed
Caleb Downs.
And just whiffed, and he should have probably tackled him low. And I remember thinking after the whole thing took place, I'm like, if they just tackle him at the 5, they just kick the field goal, which would have been in the end. It's like that. You'd been like, well, it would have been 3 because you'd had no option. You'd be like, no, because it was at that time. It was a 3.
It was 14-9.
14-9. So it was. I go. The 3. Even at the time they went for it, I said, no, you have to score touchdowns to win. But if it would have been 4th and 5,
kick it.
It would have been just like, just kick it. Mm. Just kick it.
Yep.
And, no, you're definitely kicking.
And then that would have been it could have helped. But the way it worked out, I mean, there's to go for it. It's like, yeah, you're going to go for that.
Now, here's the thing. If you watch that play, if Dowdell just squirts to the left, he's in.
Yes.
Yeah. He's in.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's then you get to the, okay, a lot of criticism of Satterfield. A lot of it's deserved. You don't throw 10 screen passes for 27 yards. That's what they did. 10 screen passes in this game.
Because if you look at the, Jake, do you have the completions, yardage per completion between the two quarterbacks?
I don't know if this box score shows that.
I don't know if they
did. It was somewhere in the stats.
I got it, though.
It's not on here.
It's not on this one.
I think I have.
Anyway, sorry, I shouldn't have brought that up to hit that. But
you're fine.
But the yards per completion are always a big deal.
Yeah.
And I think Nebraska.
Okay, got it. 4.6 average per 4.6 yards per attempt for Nebraska, 13.8 for Ohio State.
Big difference.
4.6.
Big difference. Balls big down the field.
Yep. Oh, they hit two. They hit two monsters. Yeah. Well, Ohio State hit three actually, but two for touchdowns. Yeah. 140, 160. I think was the
that's yardage. Correct.
Yeah.
Carnell Tate and Smith.
Yeah, Smith just ran by everybody.
He's very fast.
Yeah. Just ran by.
Reason why he's a five star stud.
Yeah. But on Ohio State, so Nebraska has its chances. I mean, that's the thing. They had now, and then it gets down to the end and it gets wild. It got wild.
Let's go to that last drive. Yeah. Nebraska's got a 2nd and 22. Is that what it was? 2nd and 22 after the offensive pass interference. And they throw a pass to Banks, right back to Banks, and it's caught and it's fumble. It's called on the field down, though, right? They call fumble on the field or down. They call them down, I believe. They call it incomplete pass. But then targeting comes into play.
Yeah.
And so after review, they say it was a catch and the fumble doesn't matter because of targeting.
And targeting.
So you get the ball where it was caught at, plus 15 yards. Ryan Day is about to murder somebody on the sideline.
And they initially flagged him for 15.
Correct.
Then pulled it back and said, no, we're not going to get him for 15. Just sideline one.
There was
a lot going on.
To see the whole thing. So Nebraska, in my opinion, just took. I'm sure Ohio State fans would pull up a number of plays where they'd say, "Well, this was this. Why wasn't this called?" That happens, but Nebraska had some bad, rough calls, in my opinion, in officiating. They took really rough calls. From what I have seen this year in targeting, that call was never a targeting.
Really?
For what we've seen this year,
okay.
For what we've seen this year in target, I told you there was some egregious ones that I've seen, and there's like no targeting. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Really?
Because this one was somewhat bracing, didn't launch. There was some contact with the upper body, with the forearm.
Yeah.
But in general, no. And then I was surprised also that generally you have to complete the catch all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was a catch.
They call it catch and fumble.
So that surprised me.
Me too.
Now, on the other side of it, and this happened to me at Iowa. If you remember at Iowa 2 years ago, they launched or something over the top of the shield and they got called for it. And I'm standing by the official on obviously on our side, and I'm talking to him. And I said, "You have to go call the penalty," because I go the big rule now is that you cannot come on the field to argue a call.
Oh,
that's why Ryan Day should have been flagged.
Hmm.
You cannot come on the field to argue a call, and he's way out there on the field.
He's on the numbers. He's on the numbers.
Way so out there. And but I said to the official, I go they can't do that, right? He goes, no, they can't do that. I said, it's a 15-yard penalty, right? I said, throw the flag, do it. He goes.
Why?
He goes, I'm not throwing it. I said, you have to. Look at them. They're out there on the field. You see it. I even told him. I said, I know who your name is. I said, I know who you are. I'm seeing this and you see it. And you're not, he looked at me and goes,
whoa.
Not doing it.
Whoa.
And that was one where I think that they literally thought that if we gave them a catch, a targeting,
and
15 more, and so
they're getting out of the stadium.
A 45-yard penalty.
Yeah, they're not getting out of the stadium.
But I didn't think the first part. I would have been upset if I was saying, if that would have been reversed, Nebraska fans would have been losing their mind.
Absolutely,
in right. reverse. If that had been on Nebraska for targeting and a catch, they would have lost their mind. But the one that, to not call, and then I also was under the impression, but I didn't see it. But I didn't really show that. Was there debris on the field?
Oh my God! They threw stuff.
That should have been
beer cans coming down.
That should have been handled via the Texas game,
right?
Where it was the Texas game was, hey, listen, we have to penalize if they throw stuff on the field.
It was
almost like
like Kirby Smart said, well, here's the deal now. If the call's really bad, just throw stuff on the field, and maybe you'll get it reversed.
Oh, yeah, Ben, here
it worked at Texas.
Beer cans. I mean, the cheerleaders had to leave the field. I mean, I just ran toward the field because, as you know, in that end zone, it's way back, and they just can't heave the stuff that far. So, you know, it was bad. It was wild. It was wild down there.
He lost his mind.
Yeah, he had a lot of pressure. I think Ohio State is an odd. He's under pressure even after the win.
It is the most excruciating, joyless job in the world.
No joy.
I totally agree. He doesn't enjoy 1 second. They went 11-1 last year. And it was complete misery.
He's 62-9. That's what
he is. Not good enough. He's only lost, I think he's like 50-3 in the conference. 50-3. He's only three losses are to Michigan.
I think he's, something like that. It's 41. I think it's 42-4 now. But it's crazy good.
Yeah, because of Oregon. You're right.
And it's
Oregon.
Not good. But it's a bad feeling there. You're right. It's a bad feeling.
I think there
feeling.
Were two things going through Ryan Day's mind was that we're on the cusp of losing this game, and we were 25-point favorites. Right. And this team just got beat 56-7 last week. Secondly, going through his mind is, how in God's name are we going to beat Penn State?
How are they going to run the ball against Penn State?
How are we going to win this next game? Because I think two losses, they're in. I think they're out of the deal. It's going to be down to Oregon, Penn State, and
I want to say they don't look like a leading national championship contender to me, but I don't want to take away from what Nebraska did.
No, I agree. The credit goes to the opponent, which is Nebraska, because of what they did.
Yeah, Nebraska made them look vulnerable.
I was just confused watching it, saying, when does Ohio State show up?
Well, I don't know that they're that good. They played 16 guys on offense. That's all they play. Think about that. They don't bring in any receivers. They brought in no receivers. They played three tight ends. But they don't bring in anybody off the bench. They got Tate, Ibuka, and Smith. Now, that's really good.
That's a great pairing there.
But they don't bring in anybody else.
I've also been a part of these before on both sides sometimes where, like you said, it's just not really clicking. And I'm just going to tell you, that 11 a.m. kick early on in that deal, and all of a sudden, and then the worst thing that happened to them, they hit two big passes, and they look like
3.
And what they look like in those passes? Because I can't tell you because I was hunting. So I missed the first whatever quarter and a half. Yep. So it probably looked pretty good, right?
Ran by Ohio State. Looked really good.
Yeah. Okay. And so all of a sudden, and then they went. And then Nebraska matched it though. Mm-hmm. Nebraska again. The credit goes to
the defense.
Nebraska,
usually, mainly the defense, but also the special teams. The special teams also showed up in kickoff return. And I know the guy Sherman hit a guy at the 20, big play.
Right.
And now I'm gonna get a Hartsock. I think it was Hartsock that got the second one.
You were correct.
Yeah. Sherman and Hartsock came up with huge plays on kickoffs. That was a part of it. Nebraska just started playing really well.
They did, especially
on defense.
Now, again, this series against Nebraska, Ohio State, it's been all in favor of the Buckeyes. They have blown out most games. In the tight games, they have all been 11 a.m. This game Saturday, 11 a.m.
Yeah. Oh,
three,
yeah.
3 years ago in Lincoln, it was a 9-point game.
It's a way different scene.
And then Scott Frost's first year at Ohio State was 11 a.m. Yeah. So, Bill, you called that this week. You got to put the Buckeyes in the morning.
It's a way different scene. It's still beautiful, but it's not nearly
intense. It's not even remotely close to the same.
It's not.
And that's why the disservice of what's going on this next weekend is horrible for just college football. Penn State. At 11 a.m., Penn State, Ohio State. Well,
that's 11 a.m.?
It's 11 a.m.
Big noon kickoff.
Why is that?
Because
of Big Noon.
Big noon. And it's just sad. That game, why would that game not be prime time at 6:30?
Oh, no.
I mean, it's number 2 versus number 3.
Yeah, that's it's, tough. It's like, I agree with you
it's
on
like,
that.
It's like, hey, we're going to get some espresso. We need to get up so I can watch this game. It's like, it's horrible.
Yep.
And they finally got it changed for the Red River rivalry, if I can talk. That was always noon. This one was 2:30.
That's better.
That's a horrible deal. But yeah, that for whatever reason, in that year that it was so close here at Nebraska, what, 2-3 years ago?
Yes, 3 years ago.
They had everybody. They had the best quarterback maybe in the country.
Stroud.
Yeah, I mean they couldn't do anything.
Nope.
And I went down and watched him warm up. So I was just kind of hanging out around the team at that time. So I watched him warm up. I remember telling I go, they're not remotely interested in being here. Hmm. They could just tell they were like, we're gonna win this game.
We're better than them, and we're asleep at the wheel. It's hard to wake up. And then, like I said, the worst thing, if that game would have been like at Iowa, mm-hmm. when the score was it 0-0 or 7-0 at halftime?
7-0.
I think it's a little bit different. I think that was a different mode right there. When it went to 14-3, they're probably, all right, here we go. Here we go. Get them loosened up. And then all of a sudden, then Nebraska just outplayed them.
Yeah,
Nebraska just outplayed them.
We will get to more of this game in the second hour. Before we get to break, though, I know you are hungry right now for breakfast. Sip. You're always hungry, as you should be.
Yeah, and unhealthy. So well, I need some healthy food.
You look good, though, Steve. You do. Thanks. You have a glow to you.
He's good.
Yeah.
I have a glow.
You want to know why, Bill? It's because he's been going to Early Bird for breakfast at 19th and K. Yes. He's had breakfast burritos, chicken fried steak, which is what, Bill?
Smothered.
Yeah, smothered chicken fried steak. A variety of pancakes, and of course, the world-famous hash holes.
Hash holes.
Hash holes. Oh. Well, we were all
on Lawrence. Lauren Swigert, leading tackler in the history of Norfolk High School, was there Saturday morning and sent me a picture from the bird.
What? Did you have a hash hole?
Oh, yeah, they had hash holes.
Oh, right, Lauren.
Yeah, they had hash holes with the incredible shirt.
Yeah, he's very dapper.
Yes, he's very... you know what he dresses like? He dresses just like Keith Mann.
And Dennis LeBlanc.
Those three guys.
God, Dennis LeBlanc's always put together.
Yeah. I think they would all...
Be like Dennis.
They would all be in a Gary Michaels commercial.
Yep.
They all three would be. Yes.
Their life is a commercial.
Yes. Love it.
19th and K, lots of free parking.
How big are the spots to park in?
They're bigger than normal.
They look spacious to me. I think it's like a spot and a half. I think when Jamie did the parking lot, he did it so it was in comfort.
I'll tell you what, though. That is a big boon just to know that you can just whip in there and walk a few steps and you're in.
Without paying for parking.
Yeah.
Downtown.
And then have a cocktail like right now.
Yeah.
Have yourself a Busch Light.
Vodka, like a screwdriver?
A screwdriver,
you could.
Yes. Yeah. The orange juice, the acid bothers my stomach.
Head scratchers next on Early Break in the Ticket.